Thanks a lot. So you'll see there's a number of co-authors who are in the audience here. We did a meta-analysis, so Laura, Mark, Lewis all helped, as well as a grad student, Nicole Sasha, and Kellyetti, who actually keeps me honest with lots of things. I think all of us are aware of why the whole idea of bioreactors came about. The idea was to somehow mimic what goes on in riparian systems where we have nitrate coming in with the idea that it's being intercepted by labile carbon, conceivably creating anaerobic environments and denitrification. So we're well familiar with this. This is from a review article that a number of us were involved in. Lewis headed it up. We've been focused on denitrification beds up till now. We also wanted to look in this meta-analysis at denitrification walls. I was very impressed. I think Lowell had ratios of 2,000 to 1, if I was doing my math right. 20 hectares were draining into 90 square meters. That was amazing to see that kind of footprint. The walls are going to have much less area that they're going to be intercepting. I think we've seen lots of these. The carbon source that we stuck with a meta-analysis were wood chips. And by and large, as we've seen, retention times are usually greater than 3 hours. What we wanted to do was take a look at the information that's been generated so far in the published literature and take a look and see how does nitrate removal, what kind of rates are we seeing when we're dealing with beds versus walls, effects of temperature as well as nitrate loading, something we're going to try to look at. It has to do with whether or not there are enough studies. We'd like to look at age in these wood chip systems. So for those of you who haven't worked much with meta-analyses, they're quite common in the health sciences. Oftentimes, if we're listening to big news reports, we're hearing about some gigantic study, which is a compilation of other studies, and then usually within a month somebody's debunked that because lots of people don't like meta-analyses. Nevertheless, we wanted to see what we could do with the information at hand. So fundamentally, we're combining results. We focused in on peer review literature. We used MetaWin. That's a fairly common piece of software that's out there. And what one does is you begin within different kinds of potential drivers. You create categories and essentially bin up your data in order to see what's going on. We always were expressing the removal in terms of grams of N per cubic meter per day. I was glad to see that I think all of the studies were using the same results. So I was taking notes, and I think that'll be really helpful. Of course, what do? We were looking at Google Scholar. We were dealing with recommendations from colleagues. The biggest thing in a meta-analysis is trying to find as much information as you can. We came up with about 25 papers, and then what we were able to do, there's some great software out there, something known as Data Thief, where you can actually extract data directly from figures. We worked with a number of authors to either get clarification, get more information. Sometimes what happened is an individual paper actually had multiple studies that they'd conducted at different temperatures, so we used those as different inputs. So sometimes a single paper could give us extra information. And if you looked at total number of observations, they're actually fairly robust. Temperature, almost 120. Inflow nitrogen, we're close to 90. Beds versus walls, up around 70. So there's a lot of information out there, and I think we were able to feel a little bit comfortable with some of the results. So as I mentioned, we used the meta-analysis software. In retrospect, and I think our very next iteration, I'm just going to go back to box plots. So what we did is we were focused in on mean effect sizes. You can see that in our third bullet. But then I just decided to convert everything back to removal rates because that's what we care about. We didn't do any kind of mean separation test, but you'll be able to see with the 95% confidence intervals, you can kind of make your own decisions about what the information, where we see separations. Okay, let's look at some of these. I think we just saw a very interesting study looking at information at 1.7 degrees C. So that was impressive to see. I was impressed right away by the coats. That's why I made some kind of comment. But what you'll see is at lower temperatures, this should be no surprise to the biologists in the planet. So much lower when temperatures were less than 7 degrees C. And the concern is, and this is exactly what we saw with Gary talking about the idea that there can be substantial amounts of flux in these colder weather in northern climes. So that's when the lowest temperatures are, conceivably high flux at that time. There have been studies down in Florida, a couple of other places where the temperatures are quite a bit higher, and no surprise, rates are higher. In terms of inflow nitrate concentration effects, I mostly ended up with questions from these information. So what we find out is when the inflow nitrate is low, nitrate nitrogen, we have low rates, and maybe we're nitrate limited. When it's intermediate or high, we had rates that were fairly comparable, and the real question for me is, are we looking at zero-order kinetics, or are we looking at first-order kinetics? And Laura's information, which were sky-high rates, started making me a believer in first-order kinetics, but we don't know. So one of the things that I think the community at large needs to think about is we need to be looking along the bed. I think there have been some studies. I think, Lewis, you might have done some, if I recall, where we were trying, we need to look at what the rates are as we look at nitrate not limiting at the beginning of the bed, and then conceivably as we go down, we're lacking information on this. So I think the last study, I was kind of wasn't sure what was going to happen when you were cutting up that, Gary, when you were cutting up your bed, there's opportunities, I think, for that. We just need to, as a community, start thinking about this stuff. In terms of system designs, the walls are lower in terms of their removal rates. And our own experience in Rhode Island, where we were looking at walls, we were just nitrate limited. There was no nitrate coming on the downstream side whatsoever. And the issue with walls, it's Darcyan flow. They're not receiving anywhere nearly the amount of drainage area as the beds, particularly some of the things we saw with Lowell with the 2,000-to-1 ratios. So we're likely to be nitrate limited. The beds are much higher. I've been working with University of Maryland Baltimore campus, and they're trying to look at some stream restoration. And the question is, in different kinds of stream configurations, there are ways, there are opportunities for flow to become concentrated. And so this is just a simulation done with ParFlow, but what you'll be able to see is, based on flow lines, there was kind of a efficient use of walls to try to intercept areas where there were more flow lines coming, and then there was some estimates. Again, this is just modeling, but take a look at the one second to the right. It's optimized for nitrate flux. Those are areas in that particular meandering situation where there was more water going in, and you can see if you put walls all the way along, the nitrate loading to the stream was roughly 150 as compared to 400 with no walls, and if you optimize, it came down to about 200. So I think that the big opportunity, and Zach Easton was just talking about the idea that he's focused in on some springs that have very high nitrate. I think the walls, we want to be smart about where we put them in and think as much as we can about the hydrology. So takeaway thoughts. As a community, we need documentation of temperature, inflow nitrate, outflow nitrate, of course. It's very important to know if things are nitrogen limited. There were great talks here. Everyone's focused now in on retention times. And we need to keep that focus on nitrate removal rates rather than percent. We did have to discount a number of studies because the only thing we were seeing were concentrations, and people wouldn't give flow. You know, if you don't have everything, it gets difficult. No question, we still need some kinetic studies. So some of you who are more microbially oriented, I think we need to think about that. And this group, everybody gets it. I think we know that we have to be thinking about the hydraulic flux, meaning the retention time, and combining that with our likely removal rate so that in the end, We want to get that Goldilocks spot long enough to induce anaerobic conditions, but not too long, because we have to avoid end limiting conditions where we're starting to end up with methane and things that are going to happen. Lewis was just talking about hydrogen sulfide, so I think that's the trick with all of these things. These are all the different sources we used when we were putting together the meta-analysis. So thanks a lot. I am very interested, though, in age studies, so we'll be staring at that. And, of course, it's hard to get – there aren't that many studies that go back and revisit these after they've been in 5 years, 10 years. Most of us are very good, and it may be a funding situation. The first 3 or 4 years is the only time you're funded, but we need to get back. There was a question in the back. Yeah, so I think when I do anything next with this, I'm going to probably yank this out and just put in box plots. But the way the MetaWin software works is it does a bias correction. You generate a 95% confidence interval. Essentially, you're using a bootstrap technique where you go back in and you just keep resampling, and that's more or less the way it works. So it's kind of a bootstrapping to generate that 95% confidence interval. But I think the very next thing I'm going to do is just wipe out those 95% confidence intervals and replace them with box plots so people can see the exact data that we had. Okay. Lewis. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm hoping that between now and Christmas, I'd like to get a little more feedback. The problem with these things is as soon as you decide you're going to start writing, three more papers come out. I think we have to make one more blast through and see if we can do something with age. And I guess the question is there another driver we should be looking at? I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe there'd be more opportunities for drivers to look at. So I view this more as almost a note that I think we want to get out.